Thucydides tells us why he determines to write about this war. And the opening lines of his history, the very first words that we read, and I'm quoting from the Penguin translation of the Peloponnesian War, Thucydides the Athenian wrote the history of the war fought between Athens and Sparta, beginning the account at the very outbreak of the war in the belief that this was going to be a great war, and more worth writing about than any of those which had taken place in the past. My belief was based on the fact that the two sides were at the height of their power and preparedness, and I saw, too, that the rest of the Hellenic world was committed to one side or the other. Even those who were not immediately engaged were deliberating on the courses which they were to take later. This was the greatest disturbance, kinesis, where we get the word kinetic. It means a great tumult, would be the Latin equivalent, tumultus, in the history of the Hellenes. Hellenes referring to Greeks, that's the Greeks' name for themselves, affecting also the larger part of the non-Hellenic world, and indeed, I might also say, the whole of mankind, or at least as it was known to Thucydides, which was the Mediterranean world and today the Middle East. That's a really tall order for him to undertake. And he explains that shortly after this, so in his first book, and when I refer to a book in an ancient author, that was essentially a papyrus roll in antiquity. So when you buy a book today, a codex, which we use, and it has eight books, you have to remember those would have been eight papyrus rolls, rather cumbersome to use. He describes later in that first book, after making this opening statement, his method, the scrupulousness with which he checks facts. He also reproduces for us a number of speeches that were given either right before the war or during the war, and he assures us that he has checked these speeches very carefully, and he writes as follows, "In this history I have made use of set speeches, some of which were delivered just before and others during the war. I found it difficult to remember the precise words used in the speeches, which I listened to myself, and my various informants have experienced the same difficulty. So my method has been, while keeping as closely as possible to the general sense of the words that were actually used, to make the speaker say what, in my opinion, was called for by each situation." That's a telling revelation. Most of his information is coming from eyewitness accounts, that is, oral reports. We are informed at various points in the history that he consulted documentary sources. Decrees of the Athenian people, often erected on stone inscriptions, other types of records, and when we can check his facts, he holds up very well. In the case of the speeches, and this is a question that has bedeviled scholars, there's a certain amount of interpretation when Thucydides gives these speeches, and some of them have been questioned and thought to be whole cloth, he just invents them as he needs them. In other instances, historians and scholars take the position, well, the speeches are interpretive, they're to complement the narrative, and I tend to fall more on that side of the question. Although no one would regard these as verbatim reports, the way one would quote a source in a modern scholarly work where it's the precise words. Nonetheless, the speeches and the narrative both give us a fair degree of confidence that the facts are accurate. Where Thucydides can be questioned on is interpretation. And he wrote this account of the war, the Peloponnesian War, with the following thesis. And he makes a very clear distinction between the real causes for the war, the aitia, and the excuses or the alleged reasons for the war. A Greek word is usually summed up by prophasis. And he says, "But the real reason for the war is, in my opinion, most likely to be disguised by such an argument." He's talking about all these facile arguments that explain the war. "What made the war inevitable was the growth of Athenian power and the fear which it caused in Sparta. As for the reasons for the breaking of the truce and declaring war, which were openly expressed by each side, they are as follows," and the history comes forth. He has a grand thesis in mind, that Athenian power drove the Spartans to war. He's scrupulous in his facts. He tries to support the narrative with various speeches to give insights on what the participants themselves felt. And what is significant, in the first four books of the histories, Thucydides himself was in Athens and was a member of the political classes in Athens. He was elected general. There are 10 generals elected each year in Athens. They command forces on land and sea, the citizen levies. He was actually exiled for military incompetence in 424 BC, and in a grand Greek tradition, in fact, perhaps in a grand historical tradition, he did what most historians did. He wrote about what he didn't do particularly well. You get exiled for military incompetence, you write a military history. Most of us can also claim a kinship with Thucydides on that. Historians tend to write on what they don't do particularly well. In any case, the first four books were dealing with events which he had seen in Athens. He has a very good knowledge of them. He has firsthand experience with many of the political figures in that narrative. Starting in book five, when he begins to narrate the later stages of the war, he was in exile, and there he has information from the other side, the Spartans, the other belligerents, the Peloponnesians. He has information from Sicily that is remarkably good. And above all, he gets a significant amount of information from the fellow Athenian exile, Alcibiades, perhaps the most outrageous of the political figures in Athens, often said by the biographer Plutarch, they love him, they hate him, they can't live without him. And Alcibiades provides information on the coup of 411 BC, the intricate workings at the Persian governor's court, events going on. And Alcibiades tends to put himself as the center of attention in everything, and even Thucydides, who understands Alcibiades, they're both fellow aristocrats exiled by an ungrateful democratic assembly. Nonetheless, Thucydides tries to mediate some of what is being told by Alcibiades.